Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoors Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Camp Denny's on oysters, about however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
The reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on the Saturday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman producing the Outdoor Show. This morning is Jace. Our sponsors today, Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated, Boyd's One Stop, the Belleville Meat Market, and Angler U. All right, looking at weather, Galveston right now, 65 down on the island. How about that warm up during the night? Looks like today a mix of clouds and sun with that front coming in, high around 65. Winds will be shifting to the northwest at 15 to 25. And then for tonight, windy with clear skies. We're going to have a low of 37 in Galveston tonight with winds northwest 25 to 35 with higher wind gusts. And then for tomorrow, windy with quite a bit of sunshine tomorrow, but clouds are coming, high 47, north winds 25 to 35. With higher wind gust again. So that's here it comes. Old man winter is heading to us. All right, looks like tides for today. We're on a four tide schedule. We're sitting on a low right now. These are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have a high coming up at 5:41 a.m. It's an 0.6. Then we have a low at 12:44 p.m., a negative 0.1. And then a high at 8:20 p.m. and 0.7. Sunrise this morning, 7:14 a.m. Sunset, 5:46 p.m. And our moon phase is 88%. And looking current conditions right now, offshore the buoy is showing a west wind at 9 to 11 miles per hour. Water temp out there is 59, air temp 60. Galveston Channel is 62 degrees with 55-degree water. A west wind at 8 to 11. Eagle Point, 65 degrees with a 53-degree water temperature. West-southwest, 8 to 14. And Morgan's Point, it's 66 degrees with 53-degree water southwest at 11 to 17 miles per hour. So keep an eye on those water temps. These will probably be the warmest ones we'll see in a while. You know, at least we're up in the 50s. And with this weather coming up for the next 7 days, those water temps could get real low. So anyway, that's your tides and winds and all that good stuff. Let's run over east of town now to the Golden Triangle area and see what's up with Captain Bill Watkins this morning, see how he's percolating. Bill, good morning. What's up, man?
Hey, how are you this morning, buddy?
Oh, I'm good.
Well, it was
getting ready for the cold.
that's me trying to figure out which pipes I need to protect, and I think I'll just turn them on out there in the pasture and let them drip. Just let them run. Well, that'll help keep my pump warm and keep a light bulb in the pump shed.
Yep.
Maybe everything will be all right.
Yeah,
I don't know how many hours of below freezing are we going to have at the worst night. I mean, that's what you have to figure on.
That's the key. It's it just depends on where you're at. The closer to the coast you are, the better off you are. But you being above I-10, you're going to have some really cold weather. I mean, like tomorrow night, it's going to get 30 Sunday night. And then the high for Monday's only 36, but Monday's low will be 28. Now, these are Houston temps. And the high on Tuesday is only 31 with a low of 26. And then Wednesday, it'll bump up to 39, a balmy 39 with a low of 19, they're predicting now for Wednesday night.
Yeah, that's pretty severe.
And then another 29 on Thursday night and 32 on Friday night. So you're going to have low 30s to, you know, that's your highest temperatures for 5 days or whatever. So that water's going to cool down. I can tell you one thing, those turtles are going to take it on a chin.
Yeah, they will.
They got them rescue boats already charged up and gassed up and ready to roll.
Well, up to them. I wish them luck.
Better.
Yeah. This is kind of the weather I don't like.
Well, we pulled a hurricane this year, so you know we see this every time. You know.
Yeah, that's true. You're right.
We're gonna have a pretty hard freeze that winter. So.
I hadn't thought about that. And you're right. But well, it looks like that there are still some fish out there in the lake. I mean, Thursday I had a fishing trip that was just incredible. The first rattle out of the box, I kept going south until I found the fish. Yeah. I started out all the way up in the mouth of East Pass because that's where I was going to pick up my customers.
Mm-hmm.
And we ran all the way across Coffee Ground Cove before I stopped, and the water was good in Coffee Ground. It looked really nice. But those fish had been scattered up there this winter, so I decided to pass that up, and I went to the Pines Bio and caught three short redfish. Hung one pretty good one, and it pulled off.
Mm-hmm.
Went on down about another 3 miles, and got in the mouth of the bow, and we got to catching trout. And I mean some pretty ones.
Mm-hmm.
They were 17 to 21 inches right in there. And I mean, some of those 21-inch trout were so stout.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, they were heavy. I was like, maybe I hadn't seen a fish that big in so long, you know. But they were really, really pretty fish. And we stayed there and caught 8 of those. And I think the fresh water started coming out of the marsh enough that it pushed them offshore. So I'm thinking that all of our trout are out in the middle of the lake or down in the ship channel where they'll be okay during this freeze.
Well, they better hurry up and get there. I don't want to be running out of time.
Yeah. Well, we wandered on down.
We were talking about that yesterday, how all these fish get hung up. I think, you know, it depends on what bay system you're in. They just don't know to do that. I mean, they know a weather system's coming. They know it's going to get raw and bad, you know, because look the way they're biting right now. But as far as making a major migration and movement to deep water, I just don't think they know to do that.
I don't think they do either. I think if they're already there, great.
If they
if they're
never
not already
they never
there,
have any fish kills, right?
That's right. I don't know how it's going to work out for them, but you know, most of our fish are probably in deep water. They're in at least 6-7 feet, and or deeper.
With these winds, we're going to lose, you know, 3 to 4, 4.5 feet of water.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it's
going to
blow out of north.
Northwest, man, and north and northwest. I mean, that's just going to
blow. Yeah, that's terrible.
Yes.
That'll put it down 35 miles an hour for you know, yeah, like a
with
couple
higher
of days.
Gas. Yes.
Yeah, that's gonna be a booger.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But I think most of our fish are already lower in the ship channel anyway. Mm. We've had enough fresh water to move everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, those trout I hit were all the way halfway down the lake. And there was very few against the shoreline, and after the tide fell a little bit, they left. So I think they're already out in the middle of the lake. Or down in the ship channel.
And yeah.
Those that are in the ship channel would be okay. No problem with that. Because you got fresh water overrunning salt water, they're going to be deep.
Right.
Well,
hopefully
some,
you know, I know all the fish, if, you know, if the rivers have got enough salinity in them, the ones that are in there, they'll be fine. In that
yeah,
deeper water.
I think so. We wandered on down to, I think, another 4 or 5 miles down, and just kept on going. I finally found some good water coming out of a no-name ditch.
Right.
And that ditch was about 7 foot in the middle of that ditch. And redfish were wadded up in there like you wouldn't believe. There was, we sat there, you know, I just watched those guys catch them and release them. We had fish from 15 inches to 32 inches and a whole bunch in between. And we boxed 8 reds and caught 35 or 40. I don't even know how many they caught. I lost count. But they were catching them 2 at a time, sometimes hooking up 3 at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And they one of them said, I sure hope I can catch a redfish. I've never caught one. Oh, boy, they got into
they
them.
They did
and
that
got
day.
Into them.
Golly.
Yeah, I just sat there and run the net, and after a while, they run the net, and I didn't have to do anything. Sat there and twiddle my thumbs at the console, and all on white K Wiggler ball tails. that was a show. And that water was about 2 foot visibility. You could, you know, brown clear, pretty much. And a little bit stirred up after that last front, but not much.
Right.
And as the day went on, you know, by the time we found those fish, it was probably 11 o'clock. High up in the sky, and the sun was bright, and it lit them off. But the water temperature was 49 degrees.
Yeah.
I mean, it was cold. So, you know, here it is sitting there like that, and we've got this other front coming in. So those fish are, you know, they're wadded up.
Yeah, we don't
wherever they are.
Get below 40.
No. No, that'll put them in danger, but, you know, 9 degree swing, that ain't much.
Not with
it might be 50
of that,
today.
7 days of that kind of weather.
Yeah, that's pretty rough. They're going to be at the mercy of the elements. Of course, you know, those redfish will bury up in the mud. They'll
well,
wiggle
they're
right.
They're so much hardier than trout anyway, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
They bite good in that cold water, and it doesn't affect them. But,
nah.
You know, those freezes we had in 83 and 89 and 90, that it killed redfish, man. When you go to killing redfish, you know you're in trouble with your trout.
That's right.
And rum too. You know, they're just rougher, hardier fish. And it,
yeah, if you're killing redfish and drum, that's
yeah,
that
ain't good, man.
But they have already moved out of the marsh into the deeper bows.
They better.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
yeah,
and once we get that blow and that water falls, they've got to fall with it, or they'll be high and dry. You know, they'll fall out with the water.
Right.
Just depends on how far they fall out and what they get to. I think
yeah,
all the fish
right.
are established close to the deep water areas, you know, the ones that are living close to the flats and with real quick deep water access, it'll be all right.
Well, that last cold front, that northwest front, that thing, it blew. And it pulled all the water out.
It did.
I noticed. And all that fresh water that was up in the rivers moved out into the lake. And, you know, the Sabine was muddy, and and the Natchez is dirty and fresh. And so everything has been pushed, you know, halfway down the system. So we'll see.
All right, hold that thought. I'm going to knock this commercial break out. I'll be right back at you, bud. Hang with me.
All right.
All right. Well, folks, if you need pipe, valves, fittings, instrumentation, fasteners, or gaskets, and you need them fast, look no further than Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. They're your one-stop shop for all of your petrochemical supply needs. They have a full fleet of delivery trucks and same-day delivery. There's no need to wait weeks. You know, for other distributors, let Ally deliver today. And if you're looking for that hard-to-find item or can't wait on long deliveries, their sales team has a combined experience of over 100 years. And they're here to support you from start to finish. Whether it's a 24-7 maintenance project or ground-up construction, Allied has you covered. Remember, the first three letters of Allied are all, and that's exactly what they do. Call Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. Let them handle it all for you. Call them at 281-332-6224 or sales at alliedinc.com. Spell out Inc. That's 281-332-6224.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 419 here in the Bayou City. All right, Bill, we are back, my friend.
All right. I'm here with you, buddy.
Yeah, everybody's on full alert up and down the coast, man. They're just, you know, we've seen this before. We're just going, well, is it live or is it Memorex? You never know. We just got to wait to see what happens.
Yeah, that's true.
I think
this one's going to be pretty bad, I think.
Yeah, these coastal temperatures are just they're going to be a little warmer than inland, but it's something to watch. We'll just keep an eye on it.
Well, it won't bother the bass and Rayburn or Toledo Bend.
No,
or any of that.
Isn't that something? How freshwater fish aren't affected by it? Like saltwater fish are basically tropical fish, you know.
I think, you know, even once in Alaska, when it freezes over everything, those fish are still protected even in salt water. They're down there just swimming around because it only gets so cold.
Yeah.
Once it freezes over, it insulates everything. So
yeah.
Here we don't have that. We don't have that. So.
Well, it's such a shock on the system, but you know what people need to do, though? This is going to pile these fish up in deep haunts and areas that, you know, TPNW, you know, they need to do an emergency thing and just close those areas. If these water temps get critical, just don't let anybody fish them. Not even catch and release. Don't even hook them and throw them back. Stressing them out, just leave them alone.
Well,
let them roll.
You know, what about the tugboats going up and down?
Well, that's a whole different deal. That's out of our hands there.
Yeah, it sure is. And we ain't going to be able to do nothing about that. So.
No. Yeah, that's tugboats running the intercoastal. A lot of fish will fall off in that, you know, due to the low tides. They'll have to dump in there in a lot of areas.
Yeah.
And, you know, down south, those intercoastals run through open bays down there, and those fish, you know, when you lose all that water, they just fall that way, and they're going to be in that deep water.
Yeah.
And I know I'll be talking to Cliff Webb later this morning, and I'm sure that'll be a conversation to talk about as tugboats rolling up all those big fish and pushing them up just on the mud. It's a bad sight.
That'd be a bad sight. But, you know, we've survived these kind of events before.
Yeah.
And I just don't think it's going to get that cold. You know, we've had 6 degrees and 9 degrees on the coast before.
Yeah, I had two nights in a row on Trinity Bay. It was 7 degrees in that 89 event. And then
that was a bad one.
Then the February freeze in 90 right behind that one, that was the double whammy. What was left got finished off. That was terrible. That was a nightmare.
Yeah. Yep. Well, hopefully we can.
And this is going to be nothing like that, but still it's a stun thing. And I'm trying to remember 21, our temperatures and 2021, you know, because we did have a fish kill. Anybody said we didn't, they're fooling themselves.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I know for a fact we did.
I didn't see one here, there could have been possible that some fish died that I couldn't see. You know, that even with the water clarity, visibility at 2 feet, it still would have been, you know, a possibility of some fish being killed that I couldn't see laying on the bottom. But I did ride around. I'm not going to do that this time. I'm just going to try to survive myself. I'm not going to get out there and ride around and try to find what happened, and, you know, I'll just let everybody report on it. But I don't know that the bay water will actually freeze this time. I'm not too sure that that'll happen, but hey, that fresh water can, you know, I bet my pond freezes over.
Yeah.
Well,
2021 event, as far as statewide in Texas, remember it was called Winter Storm Uri. I don't know why they named it Uri, but it was the coldest winter storm in Texas since that December of 1989 freeze. But on the coast, it wasn't as near as bad. You know,
there was some frozen over shallow flats up here in the north end of the lake.
There was ice all around the shores of Trinity Bay after, you know, that freeze in 2021.
No, there was. I saw some aerial views of Bessie Heights Marsh and places like that, and it was froze over.
Yeah.
It was ice everywhere.
Well, hopefully we can get through this one without any kind of power disaster again, you know, like that 2021 deal. That was something, people freezing in their own homes.
Yeah.
That was terrible.
And I'm almost out of firewood. Kind of worried about that. I called my son. I said, hey, how much firewood you got up there in Kerberville? And he said, I got it stacked up around here, wall to wall. I said, good, I'll be coming your way. I'll be doing double duty with my wood heater.
Yeah, I heard the price of firewood this year is kind of through the roof, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they'll be gouging the heck out of you for what you buy right now.
Oh, yeah.
Can't say I blame them.
I got a brand new generator. Hadn't even got to plug it in and use it yet on my quick connect and all that, so I'm prepared.
Yep. Better fire it up.
I'll tell you, I can get through a hurricane and no AC, but man, to get through a freeze like 2021 and no heat.
Yeah,
when you're sitting in your living room with all your hunting gear on, that's nasty. That's un-American.
That is un-American. It's un-Southern, I'll tell you that.
But I bought me a pop-up for the fireplace. A friend of mine, he put his deer hunting pop-up in front of his fireplace in his house, and him and his wife were sitting in there in lawn chairs with the heat coming off the fireplace into that. Said it was nice and toasty in there. How about that? That was a good idea.
That was a great idea.
So I got one just for that if it happens.
Oh, man.
Just enough, you know, firewood to get me through a 2 or 3 day event like that last one. That was pretty bad.
Well, I know I'll miss my wood heater if it goes. if I mess up with that, I'll be done.
Be hugging on
that.
Yeah,
we might all be sleeping in the living room on blankets.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Get the blower out and air up a mattress.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried about my pipes up in the attic.
Yeah.
But I'll just open that crawl hole in the hall and let
that
heat
go up there. Get a fan and blow that heat up in the attic.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't think it's
going to
get that bad. You know, I'm seeing some temperatures, maybe 19 one night, 16. You know, the amount of snow was real surprising, especially over your way. I know up around Livingston and up that way, they were calling anywhere from 6 to 8 inches of snow, even over in Louisiana.
Yeah, that...
And Winnie, 4 to 8 inches. You know, around my area,
wouldn't that be
2 to 3 inches, but it's still snow.
Yeah, we had snow over here about, what was that? It's been several years ago. I think maybe not 2019 or something like that.
I remember all the kids were excited because they thought it was going to hit us, but it went east of us and y'all got all of it.
Yeah, we had 5 or 6 inches of snow in the backyard. It covered everything in white. That was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And it was during deer season, too, and late deer season. And I went up there to the old deer lease and I thought I was going to be able to track some deer. And it didn't snow in Kerbyville.
How about that?
It was clean ground up there. Yeah. I thought, sure, I would, you know. I thought, man, they'll be easy to track down in that snow. It didn't happen.
Well, this is good news for the duck hunters. You know,
this ought to shove
some birds to the coast.
It ought to.
From up north, if there's any to come.
Might get some mallards.
Good. Some of them northern birds, man.
But all the ponds will be froze over. It'd be hard to... I remember we were hunting Pipkin's Ranch one day down in the marsh, and down south of 73.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my, the ice was so hard, if you throw your decoys out there and they just bounce off of it.
Yeah.
And man, I mean, that was crazy. We had to go around out there and stomp the pond down and to get the decoys to float, and then after a while it froze over again.
They froze into the ice, yeah.
They froze into the ice, and I thought, man, this is stupid. We need to go to the car. Let's just get out of here.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm dead mad at
birds.
Have that.
You shoot those birds and they just bounce off the ice when they hit. Oh, man. Yeah. We'll see what happens, and I'll be talking to you next Thursday, and we're just on standby.
You know, we'll just...
Hopefully the cell towers don't go down. If they do, I won't be talking to you at all.
No, I'm telling you. We've been there before.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Well, if somebody wants to call you about coming over and fishing with you after all this weather breaks, they may be stacked up big time. How do they get a hold of you?
409-673-9211.
All right,
and, Bill. But it'll be after this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got a ways to go.
I'm not even going out there.
Next week is not looking too savvy.
All right. Well, you take care of yourself, brother.
Stay warm. Stay high and dry,
yes,
buddy. All right, man.
Will do.
Later. All right, that's Bill Watkins over at Sabine Lake. Folks, are you looking for the ultimate outdoor adventure? Well, welcome to Rusty Hook Ranch. It's a premier hunting and fishing destination right in Matagorda, Texas. And whether you're after waterfowl, quail, thermal hog, or even alligator hunts, Rusty Hook Ranch has it all. And don't forget about their top-tier Matagorda Bay fishing charter. So bring your friends, your clients. Let the boys at Rusty Hook Ranch take care of everything for you. From five-star lodging, skeet shooting and sporting clays to a fully stocked bass pond, and your weekend here will be one you won't soon forget. And if you need a place for team building and family reunions, weddings, or other events, Rusty Hook Ranch can sleep large groups up to 40, and they can host events for up to 300 people. So why wait? Experience the best of Texas at Rusty Hook Ranch. Book your adventure today at RustyHookRanch.com. That's RustyHookRanch.com. And please tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 4:36 here in the Bayou City. And let's run up to Lake Conroe. Let's check in with our good friend, the fish dude, Mr. Richard Tosh. See what he's up to. Richard, what's up, bud?
This morning.
I'm
how you good?
Yeah, fit as a fiddle and twice as high strung, man.
I heard that. It's nice and warm this morning. It's 51 up here today, so it's not too bad.
64, 65 down here on the coast, man.
Yeah, the change is coming. It's on its way. It's going to happen. I guarantee you.
It's fixing to be hunker down time, buddy.
You're not kidding. There ain't no doubt. I went out there Thursday, got that bass boat out a little bit, and tried chunking that Alabama rig at them hybrids, and I could not get them beat it. They wouldn't even chase it. But that's all right. I broke down and put me in. I tried a couple of different things. I put me a quarter ounce jig head with a shad assassin on there. They wouldn't hardly look at it. And then I turned around and got me one of them little eighth ounce Pro Elite jig heads. Put it on with one of those Elite shiners that Bass Assassin has. Dropped it down in them and then got me a couple of them anyway. So that was different. Just that lightweight, getting it down there to them is a hard thing because they're sitting out there in about 30 foot of water. So, and it was about 35, 36 foot of water, and they're suspended up there in about 25. So I got that little jig head down there to them, put it on the spinning rod too. So that made it even more fun. You know, hook up to one of them big rascals on light tackle is a hoot. So, and when I was throwing that throwing that umbrella rig at them. I had that rascal on the big stick, so it was, you know, 7.5-foot rod, right. Heavy action, you know, so it's a broom handle more than anything. Chunked that rascal out and let it sink down there to him, and watching it on that active target, just drilling it through there, and trying to keep it in them wads of shad that was down there in the creek anyway, because they kind of up in the mouth of this one creek, and they were ganged up in there. You could see them in and out of those shad, and there'd be little gaps in those mm-hmm. in the shad and stuff, and you'd see those hybrids hanging out in those gaps, and you get it going through there. They didn't want to eat it. They didn't want to chase it. But whenever you get that one individual bait down there with that lighter weight on it, they started, you can see them swimming around it and doing circles around it. They'd look at it pretty hard. A lot of them would just look at it and they wouldn't even touch it. But, and I even tried dead sticking like I was talking about the other day, but I that is too boring. I can't do it. So
yeah, I saw a post from Livingston where they slammed the hybrids and they were doing that dead sticking deal you're talking about. That's how they had.
Yeah, I just can't do it. I mean, I try, but it's you know, especially whenever I'm scoping them, you know, I get down there and you can see them, and once they start ganging up around it, you jerk it a couple of times, they'll thump it pretty hard. So that's the way I look at it, you know. But you know, a lot of times, I guess if you're not doing like that active target or live scope or whatever, if you're not using that, you're just using a regular old down scanner or the 2D sonar, you just put it down there in them and just let it hang out and they'll hit it. But it's, you know, plus, you know, I do everything I can to make them hit it a little bit more aggressively anyway. And whenever, you know, like the other day, I was out there, you know, drop it down in them. And that's the thing about it was, when you get in those gaps where they had those shad busted up, you'd see three or four hybrids in there and just drop it down there in front of them, and you'd see them circle it and go around a few times. And if you just held it still, they'd just look at it and then they'd swim off. So I couldn't do that. I'm not going to let them swim off. So I'd get them, they'd start swimming up there and looking at it, and I'd jerk it real good, and they'd chase it up. And then as it falls, they'd thump it. So, that's typical, like jig and spoon fishing stuff. And I did a little spoon fishing also. I dropped a spoon out there on them. But the thing about spoon fishing this time of year, which is perfect this time of year, is the way I was doing it, I was more on a flat. Typically, when you're spoon fishing, like those shad and stuff, they were ganged up about 25, 26 foot of water. Typically, when they do that, you want to find you a little ridge or something that drops off where that your top of your ridge is in like 25 foot of water. And that way those shad get bunched up against that ledge like that, and those hybrids will just slam them up against those ledges. So, you know, you could actually have 20 foot of water, but on that 25 foot mark where the bait's typically hanging, that's where the fish are going to eat. So you get out there and drop off that ledge like that. Like on the north end, you got the railroad trestle up there, which is on top of it's 21 feet deep, and then in the bottom of the ditch is 32 feet deep or 31 foot deep. So it's you know, and it's just, you know, people say, what do you mean railroad trestle? Well, there's an old railroad track that went across the lake before the lake was built. And you know, if you think about a railroad track, especially in a marsh or a boggy area, they have it built up. So this thing is, you know, it's 10 foot tall. You know, you got a 10 foot rise with all that rocking in the track on top. And then you got the bar ditch in the bottom. And then it comes out of that bar ditch and gets up onto a flat area, which goes from, like I say, it's 21 feet deep on top of the tracks. Down the bottom of the bar ditch, it's 31 feet deep, and then it comes up to 29 on the side. So you got a 2-foot ditch there, basically, off the side of it, but it's actually a 10-foot tall structure down there on the bottom that you're fishing. And those fish run up and down that dang thing and eat like crazy.
Man, structure.
It is. Yes, sir. And then, you know, you got all the. Some of the old trees are still down there. Some of those old oak trees and stuff that were along the edge of the tracks, you know, whenever it was still functioning, they're still down there and stuff like that. Cause they didn't cut none of that stuff out. You know, a lot of people think, when they build a lake, that they clear that lake out. No, it's not cost effective to do anything like that. So, and a good example of that is like Richland Chambers. When they first built Richland Chambers, you know, we used to go up there and fish all the time, and that dang thing, you'd be going through it and dang water moccasins as big as your arm falling out of them trees. Oh, so you didn't want to get, yeah, you didn't want to get in underneath none of them, because they had some big
stories like that when she was a kid, and her and her dad fished Lake Dallas a lot, and that would happen.
Man, yes.
And big old stub-tail moccasins drop out of them willow trees right in the boat, and he just grabbed him by the tail and sling them out. I'm going,
nah, yeah, man, buddy, not, give him a I'm telling you. I'll tell you what, that's, I heard that, Bob. I'll tell you what, you know, and that's the thing, I've not been on Richland in a long time, but, you know, used to, you could tell where the hay pastures were and stuff like that, you know, that people had out there, mm-hmm. and you could follow the roads and stuff, you know, that was the thing. You just didn't want to run the creek channels or anything like that, because it's the creek channels where all the trees were. They were lining up the edges because they couldn't, you know, they wasn't going to get in there on those creeks and creek bottoms and stuff and cut the trees right out as farmland and stuff like that. So, you know, that's where your tree lines were all over the place up there. And it was neat because you follow a road and then boom, you jump into a 300 acre hay pasture, you know, and then it'd be wide open. You could look at the tree line on the side and say, okay, I want to fish here. And then some of the creeks just be plumb full of trees, and other ones, you know, out on the main lake, you'd have those big giant pecan trees and stuff that were standing out there. And I mean, those fish would get all in those trees. And that's what I loved about Richland. It was, you could catch fish in the middle of the lake on those big tree limbs that stuck off of some of those trees, because those fish would spawn in those tree limbs, just take you a big old spinnerbait, chuck it through there and start whining, just let it thump its way through them limbs, and they would knock the fire out of it. And it's one of those things, you know, different lakes do different things. And when they're brand new, you know, even Choke Canyon, for example, the first time I fished down there was literally right after it opened. And it was before GPS and all that. You could get out there and leave the boat ramp, which was Callahan State Park. You could leave that state park and hit the middle of the lake. You couldn't see nothing but mesquite trees. That's all that was there. Just solid mesquite trees, and all of a sudden, boom!
All it is in South Texas is mesquite trees.
Yeah, I know. And then it would open up, and you'd hit the river channel, and you'd see the river channel. It'd be just clear as a bell. You'd run right down the center of the river channel. And then on the south end of the lake, you know, it's a little bit deeper, so you didn't have to worry about it. It opened up, and you could actually see. But where you launched at was kind of north mid-lake, and it was full of them dang old trees, and you couldn't get out there. But that was in the 80s. I mean, I've not been over there since then. So it's, you know, I have no idea what it looks like anymore, but I'm quite sure those trees aren't standing out there like they are anymore. Or they were.
No,
because what happens, you know, as the water goes up, they kind of harden, and then as it drops, that oxygen gets to them, and then they rot and fall over and break. So that's typically what happens on all these lakes as they do that. So as the water goes up and down and fluctuates over the years, the oxygen gets to that wood, and then they just rot off and break. You know, it's like the first time I was on Toledo Bend. And that was in the 80s also. I was out there, and I'm looking at these tall, tall trees that look like pine trees out there in the middle of the lake. And I go, man, it looks like a good fishing spot. Pulled up next to those trees, and I'm in 75 foot of water. I'm going, dang, it's too deep. It's like, good night. I mean, them rascals are tall, but, you know, and most of them are all broke off now, you know.
Yeah. So
they're just little minefields out there right now. It's, you know, it's still one of those great fishing lakes anyway, but it's, you know, when you pull up next to a tree in the middle of the lake and you think, man, this looks like a good area to fish, and it's 75 foot of water and you still got 100 foot of tree sticking out, it's like, no, I think I'm in the wrong spot. So
real quick, before I let you go, I got a text from a listener who said, does Richard know what railroad that was on Lake Conroe?
I do not know what that was. I know where it runs to and from, but I do not know what railroad it was. I mean, that's one of the things, because it's kind of like a railroad to nowhere from what I can tell. Yeah. I mean, it's just, It was just there, and I mean, when you see it come out on the bank, it, you really can't even tell anymore.
All right, so, man. All right, Richard. Well, somebody wants to call you after this weather breaks and go fishing. How can they get in touch with you, man?
Mickey, anyone get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right, well, stay warm. You better get splitting some more wood. You're going to need it.
Well, I'm headed to Puerto Vallarta, so I'm going to get out of here.
Oh, well, you're good to go then. All right, get the heck out of here. All right, buddy. I'll see you, Richard.
All right, Mickey, be
later,
good.
Man. All right, now let's go down to Matagorda and check in with Captain Charlie Paradosky. Charlie P., what's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning.
How's it going, man?
Oh, I guess I'm going to get up here in a minute and head back to Sugar Land. We fished yesterday, and I found some fish. They were all 17 to 19 inch fish, mostly. I think I only turned loose one. It was about 22, but
yeah,
eaters. You know, we had sunshine and we had like a straight easterly breeze about 8 to 10, and I don't know, we caught 25, 30, maybe yeah, a few more than that. And at 11 o'clock, it was at 9 o'clock, and we caught until about 11, and that high gray liner moved in and went dead calm, and
fish
that was
biting.
It.
Isn't that something?
That's it.
High gray liner.
Yeah, and stayed out there till about 3:30 trying to find him some redfish, and no bueno. So I did see a lot of fast boats running around. Didn't they have that freeze-out tournament yesterday? Or?
Man, don't get me going. There are so many tournaments nowadays, I don't even keep up
with them. I think they had it out of Port O'Connor. I don't know how they did.
Well, they should have waited till next week for that to call it the freeze-out.
Yeah, no, I hope not, but we'll see. But that water temperature was about 58, and we had to use real light lead heads, like, you know, 8th and 16th really worked the best.
Right.
But
that makes sense.
Yeah, and they were on the upper end of the, you know, a lot of times as soon as they hit the water, you catch one. But yeah, it was a good bite.
They're swimming around up high. There you go.
Yeah, yeah. And I just had two guys. I cleaned 6 fish for them, and nothing in their bellies. I mean, zero, nothing.
Well, maybe they don't have a lot of friends for a fish fry. They can get together and entertain about 4 people with 6 fish.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd have liked to have them for a good fish fry, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. That'd be fine for just me and my wife, a couple of nice trout. But
yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't eat fish like I used to. I used to eat it almost every day. Can't get them no more. So, no big deal. I like steak, too.
I like it all.
Yeah. But anyway, we got to hope for the best with this weather that's coming.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
I don't know what to think of. You know, one day they say it's going to be bad. The next day they confuse you and say, well, maybe it won't be along the coast. And I don't know. We've seen so many of them, you know, you just got to wait and see.
Yeah, it's no speculating. Wait till it's over.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, these fish I caught yesterday were probably in the deepest water that you can get on the west end of, you know, the East Bay.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure they'd survive where they were, but, you know, you get over there to the east end, they're going to go to that damn, to intercoastal, and you know what's going to happen when they get in there. Yeah, there's just too much barge traffic nowadays. just too much.
Well, that's the end. It always takes a licking when there's a fish kill, is that east end. It gets obliterated.
Yeah.
We're going to lose a lot of water with these winds, they're predicting. It's gonna flush the tide.
Yeah. Well, we got a good flushing out of this last one.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's a pretty good wind for several days.
Yeah.
Starting today and tonight and tomorrow and on into Monday and stuff. So maybe it'll lay down when it goes to snow on Tuesday.
You know, there's been several people going to the river. They say the river's already clearing back up, but they're not catching nothing in it.
Right.
Pretty slim pickings. So we'll see what happens.
If it gets this cold, that river ought to fill up.
Well, I know a few months ago it was full. Yeah. I don't know where they would have went. They're probably laying right there on the bottom.
Might be.
Not eating, like those fish I've been catching East Bay. There's just nothing in their bellies. It's like they're all on a diet or something. I don't know.
Well, that's kind of like those fish in the spring, you know, when they're so hard to catch, like when, you know, April for us up here, and then when you clean them, there's nothing in them, and they just got, like, green slime in their stomachs.
Yeah, that's right. That's it.
Well.
That's it. I didn't see many ducks flying over. There wasn't a lot of wind for them to be flying, but.
High gray liner, too.
Yeah.
That's not good for ducks or fish.
Yeah. I know Bink said he was going to, he had people yesterday that wanted to shoot divers and they were going to go to the south shoreline of West Bay. I'm sure they killed some ducks over there.
That's Diver Duck City over there.
I'm telling you. I am telling you. So.
Well, I'm calling him at the end this morning live from the blind. I'll pick his brain, see if he's seen any new birds come in ahead of all this weather, but it's kind of too little too late. Well, there's still some duck season left, but maybe they'll close it with a bang.
He probably will. He's had some ducks where he's at.
Yeah. He's one of the fortunate ones. I know a lot that haven't. You know, they've had a tough year, and some have had a decent year, so just depends on where you're at.
Yes, sir.
Kind of like our fishing's been. They're not everywhere. Yeah. You just got to be where they're at, man.
Well,
all
that's
right,
for
Charlie
sure.
P. We'll get on back to Sugar Land and hunker down. We're fixing to have a cabin fever stretch here.
No doubt about that.
Hey, we can watch some football this weekend. All right, man. Well, somebody wants to call you, Charlie. Give them a number how they can get a hold of you, buddy.
Cell phone, 713-725-2401.
All right, man. I'll talk to you next week. Have a good weekend.
Take care, Mickey.
See you, man. All right, it's time for our top of the hour break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.